Today's reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. I'll be reading from the Contemporary English Version. The time of prayer was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Peter and John were going into the temple. A man who had been born lame was carried to the temple door. Each day he was placed beside the temple door, known as the Beautiful Gate. He sat there and begged from the people who were going in. The man saw Peter and John entering the temple, and he asked them for money. But they looked straight at him and said, "Look up at us." The man stared at them and thought he was going to get something. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I will give you what I can. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and start walking." Peter then took him by the right hand and helped him up. At once, the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped up and started walking. He went with Peter and John into the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. Everyone saw him walking around and praising God. They knew he was the beggar who had been lying beside the beautiful gate, and they were completely surprised. They could not imagine what had happened to the man. While the man kept holding on to Peter and John, the whole crowd ran to them in amazement at the place known as Solomon's Porch. Peter saw that a crowd had gathered and he said, "Friends, why are you surprised at what has happened? Why are you staring at us? Do you think we have some power of our own? Do you think we made this man get up and walk because we were so religious? The man, the God that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and our ancestors worshipped, has brought honour to his servant Jesus. He is the one you betrayed, the one you turned against while he's been tried by Pilate, even though Pilate wanted to set him free. You set a murderer free and killed the man who came to bring life. But God brought him back from death, and all of us can tell you what he has done. You see this man, and you know him. He put his faith in the name of Jesus and was made strong. Faith in Jesus has made this man completely well, while others were looking. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you. It says in the word that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Lord, thank you that it is a book which brings life. Thank you that it is a book that brings truth. And Lord, we come now to seek your truth and your word. Lord, to inspire faith and lift our hearts and encourage us as disciples of Christ. Holy Spirit, come now. Reveal your word to us. Speak to our hearts and speak into our lives. Lord, I pray now that you give me words to speak that are of you, that, Lord, will have an impact in this place today for your glory and your name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to finish off the series we've been looking at over these last 6 or 7 weeks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of his people, the God who reveals himself as a God who is relational, a God who's in relationship with people. And that's the demonstration that he wants to show to the world, that he's a God of relationship. And today is our final part of this series before we move on to a new series that's going to take us through the summer, which is going to be called Fuel for Life, which is going to be based on Romans 8. So if you want to get ahead of the game, go home and read Romans 8, and you'll see where we're going to be looking over these next few weeks about being fueled for life through the power of the Spirit. But back to today. We come now, and we've been looking in the Old Testament very heavily, over these last few weeks. I'm going to jump ahead, and rather than going over a recap of all the last 7 or 8 weeks like I have been doing, I'm going to jump straight in to where we're going to go to today, which is the God of his disciples. The God of the disciples. See, because we've had the God of Adam and Eve, and the God of Noah, and the God of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. And it's all Old Testament. But what does it mean to us? I've been looking at different aspects of who God is. But two of the aspects which we haven't looked at yet, which are fundamental to our lives as Christians and as disciples, is this understanding. The God of power and authority. God is the God who has power and authority to do all things. And he gives that power to the disciples. If we want to be people who live out lives for God, this morning is a truth that we have to get our heads around. That God is a God of power and authority. As disciples of God, we have access to his power and his authority. And when we get that truth, it changes the way we do our lives. It changes everything. Peter and John are walking along the road, and they get to the temple. And as they get to the temple, at the beautiful gate, there's a crippled man. The beautiful gate was as far as someone who was crippled was allowed to go. He was sat outside of it. To go in any further, we talked about this a few months ago now, about approaching the temple and how there are different courts of the temple and how only certain people could go into different courts. And ultimately, the only person who could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. This man was sat as close to God as he could possibly get, that the law would allow. And he's begging for money. He's asking people to help him. But he sat at the gates of the temple. Surely God can help him. But he's calling on people to come and help him. And when Peter and John, they walk past, they say, I haven't got silver and gold to give you. But what I have, I give to you. And he speaks healing to the man. We have got at our disposal as disciples of Jesus the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity. Silver and gold we might not have, but what we have, we need to give. What we need to give is the good news of Jesus. That there's a God who loves people, a God who is so passionately in love with the people that he has made, that he has stepped out of heaven in the person of Jesus, has been killed on a cross for the sins of the world, so that now nothing can separate us from God. And this healing in this passage in Acts is a demonstration of the power of the cross. How the power and the authority of Jesus, which comes through the action of the cross, brings people back to God. This man was sat at the gate as close as he could get. But when the power of healing comes, it frees him to be able to go into the temple, to get closer to God. That's what we are proclaiming as Christians. That this God, who was unapproachable, is now approachable. This God has made a way. There's a power that frees us from the things that bind us in this world. Things that hold us back in this world. A power which brings life. A power that brings freedom. That's the good news of the gospel. A God of love and a God of freedom. That's what we need to be thinking about sharing. Because silver and gold we might not have, but are we going to give what we have got? Which is God, a relationship with God. Are we going to introduce people to the person who gives life? They spoke with authority. And when questioned by the people around, they say, what power is this? And they say, it's not our own power. This is not the power that I have. This is the power of Jesus. This is the power of the cross and the resurrection of God. That is the power by which we do all these things. It says, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, it's the power of that God. The God who's been in relationship with your forefathers says, I want to be in relationship with you too. I want to be in relationship with you too. And therefore this law which gets in the way of God and man, he wants to remove that so that people can walk with God as friends of God. They were acting and speaking in the authority of Jesus. Rewind back in the Gospels. When Jesus starts his preaching ministry, the first time he speaks in a synagogue, the people are absolutely amazed. They say, this man speaks as one with authority. There's something different about his teaching. The teaching that he has an authority to it, has a truth to it. And then in the midst of his preaching, a man with a demon walks in and he casts the demon out. And people are like going, what on earth is going on? This man speaks with authority and has the power to drive out demons. What's going on? We haven't known this before. We haven't seen this before. You see, every miracle that Jesus does in the New Testament happened in the Old Testament. The feeding of the 5,000, Elijah feeds 100. He feeds a multitude. When Jesus heals people, we see healings in the Bible. When people bring people back from death to life, we see that happening in the Old Testament. But the one thing you'd never ever see in the Old Testament is anyone having power over demons. You see, what is happening in the New Testament is it's saying, God has the power that no man has. God has a power and authority over even the spiritual kingdoms of the world. God has that power. No man has that power, but God has that power. No matter whether you're the greatest king in all the world, you still cannot command the things of the spirit world. Jesus spoke with authority and he demonstrated power. And if we're going to be people like Peter and John who emulate Jesus and model our lives on Jesus, we need to understand his power and his authority. Where does Jesus get his authority from? Well, Jesus says he gets it from the Father. The Father, Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. The Father gives Jesus authority. Where does he get his power from? The Holy Spirit. That's the power that he uses in the world. Just think about this. Jesus doesn't do the things that he does because he's God. Jesus, it says in the word that God emptied himself entirely of his divinity. He was still God, but he emptied himself of all that was divine. He was still God, he was still divine, but he emptied himself of all the power and authority that he could have administered. How does he do everything that he does then? He does it by the power of the Holy Spirit and under the authority of the Father. See, he shows how we can live. We can do all the things that Jesus did and more. When we say Jesus did it because he was God, that's a cop-out. Yes, he was God. But everything that Jesus had at his disposal, we now have at our disposal as disciples of Jesus Christ. If you listen to the authority of God and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, the truth of Scripture says that we can do those things. Peter and John could do those things because they had the authority of Christ and they had the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we can live our lives as people who are empowered by the Spirit under the authority of God. Now, I'm going to just stop and pause there a second. What's the difference between power and authority? Now, have a few minutes to talk to the person next to you, talk to your neighbour if you choose to, or sit on your own and just think about it. What is the difference between power and authority? This is a really important point. So have a talk amongst yourselves. What is the difference between power and authority? Making you all think now. Okay. Okay, bring it to a close. Hush, hush. Any ideas? What's authority? What's the difference between power and authority? Any ideas? Anyone want to be brave enough to suggest the difference between power and authority? Sorry? Are the same? Okay. Yeah. Oh, superb. Absolutely superb. How I put it, but virtually the same words, is power is the ability to do something. Authority is the right to be able to do it. Okay? So imagine, just to explain this to you a bit more, make it a bit more sense to you, hopefully. Think about the police. Okay? The police do things in the name of the law. That's the authority which they come under, the name of the law. Okay, so think about a correlation here to our Christian lives and under the authority of Christ in Jesus' name. They do it in the name of the law. That's their authority. Okay? They have the ability, they have the right to stop any car they choose at any time. They can step out into the road and say, stop. They have the authority to do that. But if a car doesn't choose to stop, he has no power there to stop him. But what he has got is the power to call in all the reinforcements that he might need. The helicopters, the police cars, what have you. So you can have the authority to do something, but not necessarily have the power to carry it out. And equally, you can have the power to carry something out, but not the authority to do something. And this is why this morning's message is so crucial to us as Christians. Because we've been given by Jesus both power and authority. That when we pray for each other, we can pray as people who have power and authority. Now for me, that changes everything in my life. Because suddenly, everything that Jesus did is at my disposal. And what are the words of Jesus from John's Gospel? When he says this, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth given to him by the Father. And he says, because of that authority that he has, he says, if you pray things in my name, if you do things in my name, if you ask me, I will do it for you. That's why we pray in the power of Jesus' name. It's not just a nice thing to do, it's like a magic word. We say that and, hey presto, things happen. We're praying as people who are saying, the authority that has been given to Jesus in all of heaven and all of earth, that's the authority by which I now speak. That's the authority by which I now pray. That's the authority by which I now live my life. And Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father, because there's one coming who is just like me in every way, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power which goes hand in hand with the authority. We can get so caught up sometimes in the power and the gifts of the Spirit and the craziness and the woo-woo that we miss the authority. It becomes about emotional feeling. If we feel that, we think there's the power there. But does it come under the authority of Jesus? And equally, we get so caught up in the authority of Jesus and praying in Jesus' name that we forget that the Holy Spirit is the thing that empowers us to do that and to do the things that we can do. Are we going to be disciples of Jesus who do the things that he did? Or are we going to live lives which haven't got any authority, haven't got any power, because it's just easier to live that way? Are you going to be someone who, when you see a need, are going to do whatever you can do to support that need? Whether that be in physical things, or whether you say, silver and gold I haven't got, but what I do have, I give to you. I come under the authority of Jesus. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I give you that gift that I can call upon the Creator of heaven and earth on your behalf and seek his will for you. What an amazing gift to be able to give people. That you can seek God on behalf of people. That you can seek the Creator of the universe for people's lives. What an amazing gift. But more than that, you can introduce them to a God who loves people so passionately, so just abundantly, that it wasn't good enough to sit in heaven and do nothing about it. He came to earth to show us the way to live and to be. Think about it. In the garden, he gave us dominion over this world. He gave us authority in this world. And when we ate of the apple and we sinned against God, we forfeited our rights in this world. And God says, I restore that back to you, that you now come back under the authority of God. Back under the blessing of God. I want to show you two diagrams now, which kind of will flow with the underlying themes of this series over the last few weeks. The first one has kind of been very much the heaviness of what I've been talking about. Who is God? So when we understand who God is, that's when we find our identity. And out of our identity flows obedience. So who is God? The God, the Father, the God of relationship, the God who calls us to be like him, to draw into his family. Are we going to let God give us new identities in him? Because when you have your identity in him, it's then about being obedient. And we talked about a few weeks ago about how when you're obedient to God, God takes full responsibility for you. When you choose to walk your own path, you take responsibility for yourself. Obedient to saying, God, take responsibility for my life. As someone who is a child of God, my identity is a child of God, of the Father. But in relationship to that comes the second diagram, the one at the bottom, which links into today, which is this idea that actually in the same way, who is God? God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who has power over all things. And in finding our identity, we find that we have an authority. Romans says we are co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. Co-heirs. What is an heir? Someone who inherits the fullness of the estate. The fullness of what the Father gives. We become co-heirs with Christ. Which gives us an authority. Because we are now co-heirs. We are Christians who are saved by grace, sealed by the power of the Spirit. We are now co-heirs with Christ. That gains us an authority. And when we're in obedience to God, God takes responsibility for us, and that releases the power of God in our lives. the power then flows. Power flows through obedience. Authority comes through identity. And it all comes from God. I hope that diagram makes sense to you, and I hope you can kind of see how they fit together. Actually, that when you lose your identity, you lose your authority. When you stop being obedient and you go your own way, you lose the power. What it's saying is, ultimately in this series, who is God? Put God first in our lives, and everything else comes from that. The words of Genesis, in the beginning, God. When God is first, what did he then say? He saw his creation and it was good. When God comes first, everything becomes ordered. Everything starts working towards his glory and his plan. Doesn't mean to say that it's something that, doesn't mean to say that those things are necessarily good, but it means he's working everything towards his good. The truth of Romans again. All things he is working together for good to those that love him. So are we going to be people who say, yes, I am a child of God. I am a co-heir with Christ. And therefore, I have the power to change the world around me. Because 12 men, 2,000 years ago, caught a glimpse of that truth and changed the world in which we live today. Imagine if the Christians of this world got an insight into that. If we today in the church got an insight into the life-changing power of the gospel, what would happen? If 12 men could change the world, just think about this. About a third of the world's population class themselves as Christians. So that means if you made it your life's ambition to disciple just one person, and that person discipled one more person, the whole world would be saved. You discipling just one person and teaching them to disciple just one more, the world would be saved. Are we going to be people who change the world in which we live? Are we going to be people who live in the authority and the power of God to push back the kingdom of darkness and usher in the kingdom of light, to live the kingdom of God here on earth? Are we going to be people who live the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You put God first. Who is God? And our lives are about bringing the truth of heaven, what heaven is like, here to earth. In heaven there is no sickness. In heaven there is no pain. In heaven there is no need. Everything is met. Are we going to be people empowered by God to, when we see injustice, when we see darkness of this world, when we see people with needs, are we going to step in and say, I'm going to push back the boundary of darkness and live the kingdom of light? And that can be in the practical things, but it can also be in the spiritual things. There are times we need to give of ourselves, of our time, of our possessions, of the things that God has blessed us with. But there's times when we say, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. We all have something that we can give. Romans says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I want to be someone who tries and strives not to be ashamed of the gospel that I believe, because it's the power of God. And that is the power that has the ability to change lives. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you call us into your family, that, Lord, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what he's done on the cross. And Lord, we thank you that the same power that has raised him from death to life is the same power that now lives and breathes within us. Lord, let us be people who live resurrection power lives. Lives that change this world so that all may come to know who you are. Amen.